You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Not fit to untie his shoelace. Document title: Worthy, Worthy. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Common English Bible. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." John the Baptist, a man born out of the relationship of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. John was raised in a family where the Torah, Tanakh, Midrash, and the texts of the seers were studied and told. A man who knew the stories and the prophecies, knew the history, and was able to stand his own in a solid discussion. So, according to tradition, we can say that John was raised to follow in his father's footsteps and was literate in the teachings of these books. John was a person who was well-versed, but John was so much different than others. John was a rough and tough man. He was like those trappers and mountain men of our history, only he lived in the desert of Judea. Like our old glamorized stories of the Old West, Judea was an area where people did not expect a lot of good to come from, and the desert especially was a place that was inhabited with nomads, robbers, and other good-for-nothings. And what was John doing there? And now, in the era of 2026, that question lands even harder, because the desert is not only a place on a map, it is also the places society writes off, the ignored outskirts, the inconvenient voices, the unfiltered truth that does not fit the polished brand. In 2026, the wilderness also looks like the loud marketplace of opinions, the endless feed, the hot takes, the curated righteousness, and the public performance of spirituality. John still stands there, unbought, unafraid, and unedited. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, Common English Bible. It happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah, "Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way," a voice shouting in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight." John was in the wilderness, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John, a straightforward preacher, baptized people who repented of their sin with water. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came, he saw them for what they were and told them to get their act straight and that they needed to repent of their sin. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, Common English Bible. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? I can tell you that did not go over really well, because the Pharisees were the people of the law. They were the scholars of the Torah, and they stood high and mighty above everybody in society. Now, there was that guy in camel hair eating those disgusting animals, crickets and grasshoppers. He who dared to put his hands in the home of the bees to get honey. This guy told them to fix their doings and get their acts straight, because that is what it means to repent, to confess what is wrong in your life and then not do it again." This was not all. John was a person sought after. People came to him from all over the place to be baptized and to listen to his sermons of repentance. How did he call them? He called them snakes, and the children of snakes for that matter. "Who told you to come here to me to get baptized so you can escape the judgment of God?" One of the things the scholars were always very proud of was that they were the descendants of Abraham. So, when John told them that God can turn the stones into descendants of Abraham, it was a very harsh and tough insult. He made no intention to baptize them with water, but told them that the one who was coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Old Testament was a washing or cleansing used in rituals. With John the Baptist, it was given an even deeper meaning. It was used to symbolize the change, not only the cleansing, but to symbolize the repentance of sin. The Holy Spirit baptism, mentioned by John, is in combination with his explanation of the tree bearing fruit, where the sin, or the non-fruit bearing trees, are taken out by the axe and are consumed by the fire. So likewise, the baptism with the Holy Spirit will cleanse with fire, where sin is burned away and the soul is washed by the blood of the Lamb. And in 2026, this confronts us in a very practical way, because religion still tempts people to keep appearances, the right words, the right look, the right crowd, the right statement, the right identity badge. John refuses the costume. He demands fruit, real fruit. Not a caption, not a slogan, not a trend. Fruit that proves repentance entered the bloodstream of daily life. And that is still the dividing line. Performance versus transformation. Now then, there is this one special time where John is preaching and baptizing in the Jordan. There, among the crowd, came Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Common English Bible. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River, so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me." Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, This is my son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him. There he was, that hell and damnation preacher, saying it straight out, you repent, or the wrath of God will be poured out upon you. And then within that group of people was Jesus of Nazareth to be baptized. As we can read in Luke chapter 4, he told the people clearly what to do. To the civil servants of the IRS, he said, do not expect anything more from the people than you have the rights to. To the soldiers, he said to stop abusing power and to be happy with their wages. He was telling King Herod that he must stop living in sin with the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. Yes, John the Baptist was a person who was not afraid to tell people how business must be done, how lives must be changed, and how people must learn to live together. People were in doubt if he was the Messiah that was announced to come, but he made it clear in his unmistakable way, me? No way. I'm not even worthy to loosen his sandal strap. Loosening the sandal strap and then cleaning the feet of the guests was always done by the lowest servant in a Jewish household. So it was the turn of Jesus to be baptized. And John had the recognition and said to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. On which Jesus answered, no, not this time. The prophecies need to be fulfilled, and we need to continue with this baptism. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan took place, and when Jesus came up from the water and prayed, the heavens opened, and the voice of God spoke, saying, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And in 2026, let that hit the heart. Heaven spoke over the Son in public, not as marketing, not as image management, not as reputation control. Abba spoke identity, love, and pleasure, straight down into the earth. And that declaration still crushes every false identity we try to build when life feels unstable. After this, the whole train started to speed up. John was arrested by Herod's people, or better, by the people sent after him by Herodias, Herod's wife. Jesus had his first battle with the devil in the desert, where he went after this baptism by John the Baptist. Can you imagine the consternation of all those people that were there? The voice of God that came from heaven. Jesus went to the desert to reflect and prepare and fast. How do we know this? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Common English Bible. Jesus returned from the Jordan River, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. And he was tempted for 40 days in which he did not eat anything. Of course, then that is what the devil is using to tempt him, telling him to turn stone into bread, to jump from the highest point of the temple, challenging his heavenly authority. But Satan was defeated because Jesus Christ is the Word. Thus, he knows the Word and uses the Word. Luke chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 12, Common English Bible. Jesus answered, it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus answered, it's been said, don't test the Lord your God. After this, Jesus went out to the area of Galilee and walked about the Sea of Galilee, where he said to Simon and Andrew, come and I will make thee fisher of men. Andrew picked up his old profession after the capture of John the Baptist by Herod's people, because before he was a disciple of John. In the Greek language, Andrew is also mentioned by the name Protokletos, which means the first called. A little bit further, he called out to a boat and called James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We now also know why they were so eager to follow Jesus, because they knew him. They had seen him before. Andrew was with John the Baptist, and he must have heard the voice of God. Knowing how close-knit the fishermen's society was, I am sure they had talked about this voice of God among each other. What an opportunity to walk with somebody of whom the voice of God itself declares, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Together, they went out on the Sabbath to the synagogue where Jesus taught. The people in the synagogue were astonished because they normally heard people speak who were transcribing the Torah. So, in that profession, they knew it well. But Jesus, he spoke the word of the Torah with authority. When these types of events are happening, you can assure yourselves that the word is going around, and people started to come from all around to listen to this man from Galilee. And in 2026, that word going around looks very familiar. Messages spread fast, stories travel, opinions multiply. Yet authority is not volume, and truth is not virality. Messiah's authority remains the same. Not hype, not noise, not manipulation. Authority that pierces the soul because it is the Torah, spoken in fullness, embodied, and alive. For us, the 21st century people, we even have one more up against the people around in the first century. We have all the stories about Jesus in that wonderful book, the Bible. We have the one up, called the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, but his disciples and other followers were not. The Holy Spirit is within all believers, and for those who have accepted this wonderful and glorious gift of God, it is so that we are not just walking with the Holy Spirit, but through the Holy Spirit, we now have God walking with us. It is up to us to read about John the Baptist, learn from his perseverance, his urge to speak the truth, his understanding to be in reverence and awe of Jesus, the Son of God. From Andrew and James and John, we experience through the Holy Spirit the familiarity of Jesus the Christ, because, my beloved, walking with Jesus is walking with Abba, walking with the Heavenly Father. Through his Holy Spirit, we have received. For us, it is now to be like Andrew, James, and John, to recognize and to follow. I want nothing else than to follow. I love this man called Jesus, and I am not worthy to untie his shoelace. But he, like John, called me worthy. I am worthy. He made me worthy. In this year, 2026, the message of John the Baptist still stands like a sharp wind in the wilderness. Change your hearts and lives. Not because God is hunting excuses to judge, but because the King is near, and the heart that stays double-minded stays unstable. John did not massage the truth for comfort, and he did not fear the faces of the powerful. He spoke for heaven, not for applause, and his fruit proved his repentance was real. And when the Messiah stepped into the water, John's humility became a prophetic sermon, all by itself. I am not worthy. That confession was not self-hatred. It was accurate reverence. In the presence of the Son, every fake crown falls off. Yet the beauty of the kingdom is this: the same Messiah who received Abba's declaration, "This is my Son whom I dearly love," also lifts the repentant believer and speaks worth where the world labels shame. When Yeshua went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, he showed what it looks like to stand clean and anchored when temptation comes with receipts, pressure, and perfectly timed weakness. In 2026, temptations still arrive with the same strategy. Turn stones to bread, grab control, jump for spectacle, prove yourself. Trade worship for power, take the shortcut. Yet the word still defeats the accuser. and the Ruach HaKodesh still strengthens the one who stays submitted to Abba. So here is the invitation, my beloved. Step into repentance that bears fruit, and step into the life of the Holy Spirit that purifies with holy fire. Lay down the performance, lay down the identity games, and let the King name you. Say it with faith, not with arrogance. I am worthy. He made me worthy. Then go into your city, your workplace, your family conversations, your online spaces, your wilderness places, and carry that message with clean hands and a tender heart. You are worthy. He made you worthy. I've shared this with you. Now go out and share this with somebody, in the city, at the sea, lake, or in the desert. You are worthy, cleansed by the baptism in the fire of the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.